This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, Trader Nick in the United States. Nick, good afternoon from London. Good morning to you.
Hey, Johnny. Good to be back with you.
We've had a raft of numbers today, all sorts to talk about. What did you want to start with?
Yeah, there's a couple key figures. Now, of course, the big notable number this week will be the non-farm payroll. We've been anticipating this heavily. People want to see if the jobs report is, or what the state of the jobs market is looking like. And I have to say, it's becoming increasingly interesting because we've had some already data come out on the labor market that's actually shown a little bit of softness, starting with today's ADP non-farm employment change. Now, this number came in lower than expected at 44,000 jobs added to the U.S. economy in the month of July versus expectations, which were 68,000. To put it in context, too, the previous number was 95,000. So we have a slowdown here in terms of jobs added to the U.S. economy in the private payroll sector. Now, it is to be seen if that is going to spill over into the non-farm payroll number, which is more of a broad and ultimately more meaningful number. But the private payroll sector still gives us an insight into the state of the labor market. And it's not the only jobs report number that we got this week. This week, we also saw the JOLTS job openings number come in softer than expected as well. So at least going into Friday's non-farm number, we do see a bit of a weakness versus expectations in some of the indicators that we've gotten so far this week. Another one that may suggest just a touch of softness in the U.S. economy right now is the ISM services PMI number. Now, I should refine that to say it's not weak, but it is weaker than what was expected. Today's number at 54.1, that is an index that goes 0 to 100, and it's a purchasing manager's index number. So for newer listeners, this idea of basically surveying a bunch of purchasing managers or people who are heavily involved in making decisions across the United States economy, specifically within the services component, have shown just a softer outlook than what was expected from that cohort of purchasing managers. That's the way to think about this. Today's number was softer than expected. The ADP non-farm employment change number was softer than expected. JOLTS job openings softer than expected. Now, what you may gather from that is that a sort of consistent blanket of softer than expected economic data could potentially move the needle in regards to expectations of what the Federal Reserve may do next. And I think that that is a very important conclusion to be thinking about, as we know that inflation has been on the rise due to the Middle East conflict. We also know that the economy has mostly been holding up. That's been a gateway into potentially raising interest rates from the Federal Reserve. Here's the challenge. If the economic data starts to come in a bit soft, it may cause the Fed to slow their role in opportunities to raise rates. So if we're seeing today softer jobs data, softer economic growth data, that could make the case for raising interest rates a little bit harder to make. Now, as you might imagine, that softens up the dollar. We see the dollar lower today, and that's following a week of very weak price action for the dollar. We see the Japanese yen fairly strong here today and the last week. It's been a monstrous move higher for the yen. We see, again, at the cost of that, as well as some of this softer economic data, the dollar lower. Now, arguably, the most interesting move on the day is the precious metals. We have gold up a whopping 4% today. And this is sort of the perfect storm breakout move that gold has been waiting for. You have a combination of softer U.S. economic prints on the jobs and growth side of things through our PMIs and ADP numbers, as well as JOLTS job openings numbers. You have expectations for interest rates being subsided a little bit because the Middle East conflict, at least for now, seems to be showing signs of promise and moving towards conflict resolution rather than conflict escalation. I say that carefully because I have lost track of how many times on this podcast we have updated listeners that the latest in terms of geopolitics was, you know, accelerating in one way or the other. But that is because it is the fog of war. It is very confusing to try and pick out the exact dynamic or what's going to happen next with the geopolitical landscape, because each side of the conflict is putting out their own set of media, their own takes on what's happening, the latest developments, and simultaneously discrediting the commentary conducted by the other side. So you have this very confusing landscape when it comes to geopolitics. But one thing that is for sure clear is that on the U.S. side, there is a unwillingness or lack of desire, obviously, to raise the stakes here and to cause more conflict. It is in the ideal scenario for most parties, I would give the opinion of, to find some sort of conflict resolution. Both sides do want the Strait of Hormuz open in a way that is advantageous to their own efforts. Iran makes primarily a significant amount of their country's income, revenue, etc., comes from the oil trade through the region. So they do want it open. Simultaneously, the U.S. wants inflation to stay under control, and they don't want their allies in the Gulf to be dealing with supply constraints and issues and all the sorts of things that come with geopolitical uncertainty in the region. So I think that the market is sort of sniffing out here, if we're just looking at oil prices, a geopolitical resolution is in some way maybe coming down the pipeline. That's at least for now the takeaway. Of course, these things have a 24-hour news cycle to them, and something could change. But for now, it seems promising, and markets have been ripping higher, not just because of the geopolitical conflict maybe showing some promise, but maybe just as, if not more important, has been a round of very strong corporate earnings within the United States. Let's just do a quick tech recap if we're thinking about it. Microsoft was substantially higher off of their earnings reports, or earnings report, because they had not just good earnings and revenue, but also specifically strong growth in revenue on their cloud-based software, etc. Now, that is AI-related revenue that is boosting, and that is certainly a tailwind to the broader market, which is propped up right now on AI spending and AI optimism. To see revenues coming through is a promising sign. We also saw something similar with Amazon, and while we did get some not performing as well, like, for example, Meta and Apple, they've largely recovered, or at least held up okay in light of their disappointing earnings. Now, again, I would also mention that even Apple's earnings were strong. It's just that the stock market itself is very optimistic right now. And when things are priced optimistic, it doesn't take much to derail them. That being said, we also had another really big earnings report specific to the AI world yesterday, and that was Palantir. Palantir had a 30% rally yesterday as they had phenomenal earnings. And so this rally, this stock market move that we are seeing, is supported largely by strong AI spending, but also strong AI generated revenue seemingly showing up in some of these earnings. So for now, we also see the precious metals rallying alongside stocks, also seeing a huge move higher. Cryptos also showing some promise, though a bit lagging behind, and yields are kept at bay for now. Another very final interesting story to think about today is what's going on, what I mentioned earlier about the Japanese yen. We see a combined effort from both the US and from Japan to support the Japanese yen. There was the leaked image that reporters found on US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent's desk, which had a note with one single to-do item, which was to buy the yen, which many speculate, myself included, that that was intentionally done for reporters to see as a way to kind of leak the information of a stronger yen is in the interest of the US as well as Japan. Why might that be? Well, Japan is a huge treasury, basically customer of the United States. So keeping them well supported and buying US treasuries is of US interest. It also is important that they stay a buyer of U.S. treasuries, because if Japan steps further away from buying U.S. treasuries in order to buy their own, guess what that does to U.S. yields? Sends them much higher. So a lot of stuff going on here this week. We have a ton of economic data to come. We have most corporate earnings are done, but have shown some promise. And we continue to monitor the FX markets, specifically the yen being a very interesting story.
Nick, thank you so much for joining us and giving us your thoughts. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny. You too.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.